Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. On today's episode, we will be discussing palaces, which are fancy houses for powerful people, according to Kyle.
Yes.
That's how he defines them. So that's a definition we're going to be going with
today. I feel like it's a generic enough definition that captures. It's like luxurious.
So is the White House a palace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any leader's residence has palatial elements.
See, I don't disagree with you. For me, the distinguishing factor between a palace and a castle is that a palace has implies grounds or like a compound. So you can have a castle almost as part of a palace.
Yeah.
But like it's more than just the singular castle building.
Yeah. Well, castle is also a fortification.
Right.
But yeah,
you see what I'm saying.
A palace having grounds is, yeah, like I could see where you're coming from. I think that it's like, I'm willing to give some amount of leeway, but yeah, I think castles should have grounds, or palaces normally have grounds. They're normally large.
Yeah. In charge.
Yeah, but like the White House has grounds.
Absolutely.
But the White House is not a big building.
No, but it has grounds. And
yeah,
it's...
Is 10 Downing Street a palace? Because it doesn't have grounds. Or is the street outside 10 Downing Street that its grounds because it's blocked off?
I think that, yeah. I would say that, yeah, in that case,
you can flex the, because, you have to flex the definition of grounds.
Well, when you said palace, when we decided on this, the first thing that immediately popped to mind for me was the Emerald City in The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting.
Because, yes, we're off to see the wizard, the implication.
What,
yes,
a Wizard of Oz.
Right. That was fucking Kermit the Frog in Wizard of Oz. Really, it's not easy being green.
well done.
Yes, the wizard has his own throne room and his own castle within the city, but the entire city itself is revered as the home of the wizard.
Okay.
And so that's where seeing the whole city as his home and as his palace began to make sense to me.
Okay. Buckingham Palace. Classic.
Duh.
Every royal in the real world has a palace. Those are good.
Those are good ones.
Aladdin.
Yes, the Palace of Agrabah. The Sultan's Palace in Agrabah.
Sultan's Palace has become relevant for my idea today.
Well, good.
We'll tease
for
you.
Big chess piece looking thing.
Yeah. I think the palace that came into my mind is from Destiny 2.
Okay.
You know I like Destiny 2. I think they have interesting
lore.
Complicated lore,
but
but lore.
When you're bored at work, sometimes it's, you really want a deep dive down a black hole.
They have good vibes.
They do have good vibes.
They have good vibe building, but they don't necessarily have good world building.
They have a character named Crow, and you know how I feel about Corvids.
Yes, they had one of the big bad guys had a palace. He was an emperor.
Cool.
And his palace was a Leviathan. It was this giant ship in space that, like, you went around, and it was all like, it was grandeur galore. Everything was luxurious and gilded and over the top. There was pleasure gardens in the ship. There's
lava world ship.
There's like, you know, all these little elements that are over the top for a ship just to be a place where he lives.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is a functional space being used in non-functional ways because he's powerful and he wants to do that.
Would the Citadel in Mass Effect count as one?
No, because it's just huge for everybody. It's a city.
Okay.
Because a city is not a palace.
No.
A palace is pretty restricted. The Vatican is a palace. The
Vatican could be a palace. I could see that.
I mean, the Pope's residence is palatial. I mean, yeah. I've been to the Vatican. It's quite palatial.
It is. Yeah. I've been there too. It's not nothing. And it does give you that sense of awe being there. I love a world ship. I love a throne world. I think that's cool. Like, I love the idea of a planet being an entire palace.
Destiny's got those too.
Yeah, it's great. I think that's probably where I stole the phrase throne world from.
Probably.
In classic fantasy and sci-fi, putting two words together that don't normally go together.
And then you're done.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's not palatial, but there's like that blend in, like, from castles to palaces. House of the Dragons is currently in my mind because it's very good. And if you're not watching it, get on it. If you listen to this podcast, you're not watching House of the Dragon, I'm very confused.
Real good.
But like, the Red Keep is like, has some good vibes of a palace when they're in the throne
room. I think
room.
Dragonstone actually has better ones.
Yeah, and Dragonstone has incredible aesthetics.
Yeah,
and that table,
I love the fucking table.
I want that table. I would build a home around that
Absolutely.
Table. Absolutely. It would be too dark and brooding, and I'd probably be depressed after a while, but it would be fun.
In the meantime, up until that point, it would be cool.
Yeah, and you just cosplay every day as a Targaryen.
I would love that.
I would hate that.
I would sweat too much.
Yeah.
And I don't have hair enough to turn white. Has there ever been a bald Targaryen?
I don't know. Question to the viewers. If you haven't...
Viewers, let us know.
Listeners.
I imagine you just sit there staring into the void as you listen to this podcast.
Anyway. All right. Well, do we want to get into a little tease of your idea here?
I think that mine can best be described as Legos.
Okay.
What about you?
That's too many palaces.
That's too many... Those were your words.
Yes.
Got it. I was like, Legos are fine. Don't fucking come for my Legos, man.
I'm giving you my words.
I will fight you over Legos.
Don't fight me.
No, I'm going to fight you.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to fight you in my modular Lego palace, which I just gave it all away. Basically, the way that this palace works is there, like I said, the importance of there being grounds is important because... All of the buildings, there is a core central unit, castle, you know, tower, foundation, whatever you want to call it, right? There is a core central pillar in the middle of this compound.
Okay.
And it is made of a particular building style. It is made of a particular material. I, in my head, because I was thinking of the Wizard of Oz, was thinking crystals, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. You could do technology. You could do whatever you want it to be. But the main idea here is that this palace is technically restrained only to the central core, and then all of the other buildings on the compound, which are made up of the same material, can, either through magic or science, be lifted, moved, and combined with the tower to meet different needs with the core central unit or the core central pillar to meet their needs. So, for example, if you fear an attack is coming and you want to fortify yourself, then you take three of the buildings of the other crystal towers on the compound. They magically lift up and combine and sort of Voltron into the main central unit and project a shield. But if you want to become an offensive weapon, then those three would separate and return, and then another three would come forming a crystal catapult.
A ballista.
That was the word I was looking for. Right. And so everything is just, it's almost constantly moving. It's constantly in flux, but it's not made of an organic material. It's not changing shape on its own. Everything is modular. It is designed to come apart and be put back together with different capabilities. There was an idea for a phone like this back in the early days that was going to be a competitor for the iPhone, where it had like a core phone. And then everything else around it was modular. So if you wanted to replace a camera, you could unclip it and clip on a new one.
Yeah. This feels like peak Ethan idea. It's like a Magitech concept that you've just created.
What would make you say that, Kyle? I have never once discussed Magitech.
Ever. No.
No. I think magic and technology should be kept completely separate. Also, for the record, I think things built in the skeletons and corpses of giant creatures are very uncool.
True. And you do not recommend bad movies from the 90s.
No, you're right. On that, I don't. I recommend fucking amazing movies from the 90s. It's not my fault you have bad taste.
All right. So.
Yeah. So anyway, the modular palace.
I think it has a really cool vibe. I think it could work super well. Like, it's so specific in where you use it. I'm confused by the storage of these other elements. Can you help me understand that?
They are buildings in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm. And so when they're not being used,
they are separate standalone buildings on a compound.
Okay.
On the palatial grounds.
Why do they need to be moved to the central piece versus staying on the compound?
Because the central piece, that's a very good question, making up an answer on the spot, because the central piece contains the power core and needed.
Like, they get like extra power.
Exactly.
It like channels it more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's fantastical. You can just kind of, you know, yeah. you just make up whatever you want.
I think it does make sense. It is the core.
Yeah. If it's like, if say you have a blacksmith, if the blacksmith is on the grounds,
mm-hmm.
its forge can only get so hot.
Right.
But, and so it can't work all of the hardest metals.
No, it can steel and adamantium or adamantine maybe, but not dragon scale.
Yeah. And then if you move it to the central palace and mm-hmm. then it has this extra magic boost, its forge can get twice as hot and then it can work dragon
steel. And it can work dragon steel and it's fed by other buildings that move towards it that are the storage houses and the warehouses, so they have easier access to materials.
So you like so you pivot around based on like what are the needs of the day. Yep. Like, oh well, can we move we can get rid of anything that isn't like forge related because we're only going to use the palace for the next week just making shit.
Right.
And then we're going to stop making stuff for a while. It's going to get real hot. So everybody just leave. Everybody just hang out outside the palace unless you're working.
Well, and the palace might reconfigure to be a leisure garden or a event space to host the gathering of the major leaders of all the political factions.
Yeah, yeah. You can, yeah, like you reposition it for whatever the need is. And then you just have, I mean, because in my imagination, it's like, a lot of crew who
yeah
it's like
a palace
yeah well no, not just that it's a palace that's doing all these extra functions mm-hmm. because it's of the nature of it because it's not just like oh this is where the king lives it's like you know where oh we have guards and we have cooks and stuff and like household servants it's you know oh well we also have armaments in case we need them we have these like engineers and wizards who like man all this shit and like, you know or you make it sci-fi and you have engineers and you
space
have
wizards.
Space wizards yeah and space wizards So you get like so you have a lot of people who have to work it and that creates an interesting dynamic because they all are then bought into like and you create this like interesting I'm imagining like a very harmonious flow
mm-hmm.
of this like city that is so efficient like everybody knows everybody has a job everybody knows what they're doing everyone's like I'm pivoting it like we're going into the Citadel tomorrow like we're mm-hmm. being pivoted in and then we'll be back in a week and then we can like chill.
Yeah,
and we can
and we reset. We refill our stocks. We of the materials that we need to
we just
complete
sleep.
Our next.
Yeah, yeah, like we do whatever. Like and it's expected that when you get called up, when you're being pulled into the core, you need to be prepared for that period.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you get your stocks ready. You get all the shit. Like when you get pulled in, like the whoever like the architect is of this core, like they are orchestrating you. We'll call them the orchestrator. They're like orchestrating a pretty tight process. And it's like...
The facilities manager would have to be on top of their game.
Yeah, it's like... Hey,
and incredibly powerful.
Yeah, like you're coming in now. You're coming in a week. Get your shit together. Get like you need this. Make sure you have it and you're all prepared. You know, like all these things. And sometimes it might just be, hey, pleasure garden people, come in. It's all good.
Yeah.
We're just chilling for a week.
Yeah.
And everybody can just relax. And maybe there's periods where they just say, core shutting down. Nobody's in today. Like nobody's in for a week. We're just going to be like a soul tower in the middle.
It's recharging.
Yeah. And literally it's just the staff are just recharging. And they're just mm-hmm. saying, we're just not going to do anything for a bit. Maybe it's just, there's one section and it's just like the king.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, that's the residence of the king or the emperor or whoever the fuck. Who owns this palace?
Whoever you want.
The space wizard?
Yeah.
Gorthax. Yeah.
The space wizard.
He sounds like one of the guys from, what was the...
Any 80s cartoon show?
No, I was going to say Gwar.
I wish you all could see the blank stare I'm giving Kyle.
Do you know the band?
The
band Gwar.
No.
They were like a famous weird band. They all wear like weird costumes and stuff, and they're like good friends with the Jackass crew. They're like a shitty hard rock metal-y kind of band. They're not good. I never even heard, like, I've heard the music once.
Yeah.
But they are famous for wearing like kind of like alien pig type costumes.
Weird.
Yeah, they're weird.
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Regardless. Yeah.
Shout out to Gwar.
The
Gwar.
Gwar. The modular throne. The modular
palace.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like it. It's cool.
Yeah. Nice and simple. Just keep it tight. But I like it because you can also adjust it. It's very, the idea is very transferable to whatever vibe settings you want,
and you can increase and decrease the severity of it, like the level of orchestration, level of power, all that can be pivoted, because you could just say this palace is like can just draw on the city's power.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can say it's a steampunk and they do have electricity. The palace can suck up all the electricity from the city and just use it to like man massive lights mm-hmm. that it uses as a defense mechanism,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Like it just
that's a great defense mechanism.
Yeah, and it's just like huge,
that's beautiful
floodlights. You know, or it can be that this is a city built in a volcano.
Shout out to the volcanoes.
We love the volcanoes.
That they can like harness all the lava and just suck it all up to themselves.
Right. All the thermal energy.
And they can use it for whatever they're going to do. Like I think that idea of having a palace that can basically take up the resources of the places around it is a super easy core concept mm-hmm. to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that it's physically moving buildings to itself is up for, you know,
I like
it's up
that,
to the individual.
I like
it's
that fun. More just because for me, I think that's cool envisioning war coming and having the towers actually lift and come together. And like, I just think it's just vibes for me.
Yeah, it's good vibes. And you don't have to do it as magic. You could also do like mechanical. Very Isengard-y, where it's just once the Uruk-hai are a part of it. When they're just like, you know, like just pulling in massive structures, just like all of a sudden. They're just like coming into the central tower. There's a big fucking train track, basically.
Yeah.
And they just bring this building in here, bring that building in here, shoot this one out. Oh, like just cranking up chains as it goes up the tower. So you can create like, which would work really well for like an evil palace
mm-hmm.
to just set up that like, this is a palace that does a similar thing, but it's not nice. It's not pleasant. And it doesn't look cool. Like it looks intimidating.
None of the pieces fit well together. Everything's jagged.
Yeah. It's like very orky.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah. But it's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that for me, that's important. But also the secondary main idea is a palace that is a functional tool for some other purpose beyond just being palatial.
Yeah.
And also sort of like how, you know, in the United States, a president's car is called the Beast, and it's basically a tank in the shape of a Chrysler.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing where it's like, oh, this looks like, and it's a really comfortable car, but they also have like a surgeon with them. They have like, you know, bags of the president's blood in there in case he gets, you know what I mean?
Like, the whole motorcade with the president's insane. They have like a radar jamming car.
Yeah.
They like that. And they have a car that like each of those cars that's in that motorcade has such a specific purpose, and they're all insane.
Yeah, but it's that kind of thing where it's like this is this grand luxurious thing that also has a purpose and modular, and it can take the power from the city.
Just a quick shout out from like a worldly perspective, I think this is really cool on the president thing. I remember in the West Wing there's a line that President Barwett says once where he says in reference to the Secret Service, where he says, "I'm followed by the best trained bodyguards in the history of the world." And I was like, that's probably fucking true. Isn't that weird to think that like the U.S. Secret Service is probably the best trained, most intense bodyguards in the history of the world? And
or that's what they want.
That's what they want us to think. But like they don't give off, like it's just people in suits. Like they could be physically blending in a lot.
Yeah.
Like the Secret Service don't stand out.
Yeah.
By design.
Right.
And that's kind of neat for how effective they are at their jobs.
Sure.
So
anyway. Definitely. Kyle, tell me about these too many palaces right now. Go.
Whoa. I just recently got back from Indonesia, as you know, and we were in a town where there were like 5 sultan's palaces in one town. And not even like
for the same sultan or different sultans?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I didn't get to go to all of them.
Okay.
It was a work trip. So, but that got me thinking about like, why there's so many fucking Sultan's palaces in one place.
Yeah.
And often you'll see like, oh, well, there's a summer palace and a winter palace for a monarch or a leader of some kind. But I was like, imagining one city with just an absurd, a small city, physically small, with an absurd number of palaces. And then I started thinking, what if you had a country that didn't have that was awaiting a divinely ordained leader, an emperor, a king, or whatever, the god king is coming, and as a means to show that they welcome them, everybody builds palaces. Every home has a palace attached to it because everybody wants
attached to it, or every home is a palace.
I'm saying like everybody, like people will have like an individual home and they will try to build a palace like next to it.
Hmm.
So they'd be like, oh, it was like a small palace in the front, but we'll make it really nice. It's like a cube. Hmm. It's just like, this is a pod, but we're making it the most luxurious place. So if the God King ever comes to us, they will have a place to stay. It'll be comfortable. And it is our way of honoring them. And if we build them, he will come. So the whole country is just littered with palaces. And
I like that.
All of these resources are being devoted to it, and none of them are occupied by anything else. And it becomes just this cultural practice that you maintain your palace.
Eminent domain for the eminent arrival.
There you go. Two neighbors are chatting out front of their respective abodes while they're both like going in to maintain their palaces for the God King. Just like, and their own house is like falling apart.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of something I saw in Thailand, which I discussed on this podcast, where houses would often have a small shrine for the spirits.
Yes.
Yeah. It very much reminds me of that.
But then, and this is like, we're talking about like the individuals, but then you have like the state ordained ones. So like, let's say the state is run by, you know, a steward, or there is a king, but they're not the divinely ordained king. I don't know. Whoever's in charge, like they're also building these. So there's big palaces too. There's like massive palaces that are whole public works projects because they think if they keep doing this, if they build the right palace, that will be the one that he comes to occupy.
That's interesting.
That like they keep so they're all bespoke. They're none of them are the same exact pattern, the same exact style. They're all like a little bit different. They're like, oh, well, maybe if I tweak this a little bit, that it's like this pursuit of perfection. If they build the perfect one, but they don't know what he wants. Some people, like the small farmer, thinks
pursuit of anxiety.
Like the small farmer might think, oh, well, he's probably a humble God King, so he'll want a humble home. So we'll build a humble little palace as best as we can because we don't have the money for anything else. And maybe that's what they want. And nothing happens there. You have people building like medium-sized ones, like, oh, well, he's, you know, reasonable. And then you have people saying, he's a God King. We need to build the greatest palace in the history of the world. And then they're just pouring money into that. And then there's like one big palace that is being built. It's like, it will be the Xanadu, but it's not done yet. And whenever
it's
done.
Will it ever be done?
No one knows.
Okay. I like the palace of perpetual construction.
Yeah. And
I like that.
And that like, and it could be that they're like always on the cusp of being done, but then there's like, shit, but we probably
architect
should.
Has a new epiphany.
Yeah. Like, oh, we need this. Oh, yeah. We need this. And it's like, they're just letting their artistic creativity get in the way of, well, if you just finish it, maybe you'll know, but because it's never actually finished, they never get to have it be tested.
Well, it would be funny and dark if the prophecy was that whenever the palace is finished, whenever the home is completed, whenever the temple is built, then so will the Great One come and live amongst its walls. But you never finish it, so you never actually know.
That's my point. Yeah,
like, I like that. That's dark, and there would probably be people going against, I'm stealing this title from Exandria Unlimited Calamity, who would be looking at this insane, and I'm not kidding about anxious, but very anxious architect Arcane.
Yeah.
Trying to build this thing and being like, you need to stop. You're the only one holding up.
Yeah.
The millennium.
You're convincing everybody that you need to do another thing for whatever reason, and they believe you. But I think it's that you're afraid that if, what if we do finish and it doesn't happen?
Right.
He doesn't come and all
and you
this
have
was
no
for,
faith.
And all this was for naught. And then maybe the whole, maybe it could be that it's not their specific choice. It's the king's, it's the steward's choice. They have said, don't finish it.
Don't ever finish it. Keep it going.
And not because he's trying to hold on to power, but because he's pretty convinced it's not real. And if people find out, there'll be a loss of faith and chaos. And the only way to keep the order is to make sure people like keep a faith.
Keep the faith. And so you have to keep building. That is fascinating to me. It's almost two separate ideas, but put together, it's great because it also means there would probably be split cultures within the surrounding areas or within the city of people who are very proud of their finished palaces for the Great One versus people that are continuously improving them.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is some combination of or some debate about, does the completion mean only the Great Palace is completed, or do all palaces have to be complete? And so you get like, into this debate.
You
there's
create
this
a lot
back
of,
and forth.
Yeah. And then you probably create a... because I like having there be the small ones for people, or having the more personal approach to it, because then you create this dynamic where everyone's bought in to this cultural practice and to this system and in their own way, where they will rationalize what they're doing and what the society is doing because they are doing it.
Oh, so you mean just normal religion?
Yeah. But we spend all this time managing our own palace. Yeah, we're okay with our government spending all the money doing it too. Just putting that so central, like all around one simple practice.
Yeah.
Because it's not like there's a whole lot of other elements. It's just one practice. It's just
cleanliness is next to godliness.
Just next to cheese.
What supermarket do you shop at? The only part about this that I'm struggling with, the only part, and it's very small.
Okay.
Is that the people's homes are separate from the palaces.
Yeah.
I think every home should be a palace. Like, you know, they always say like a man, you know, there's that old bullshit 1950s saying, you know, a man's home is his kingdom. Like,
yeah.
It's like, your home is a palace. Like every piece of, you know, you are stewards, you are custodians of palaces for the Great One, but you are not, it is not your home. You might live in it, but if the Great One were to come back, and the prophecy will be fulfilled, they could just live in your home if they wanted to, because it's not your home.
Okay. What's...
It's their palace. Everything else stays the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to try to Tai Chi that, because I think that's an interesting point. And what if... Because it's the resource limitation. Like, we're fucking with the definition of a palace a lot, and which is fair. But like... If every
like world building,
if every home is like is a palace, and in my mind that means every home is being built with luxury and built palatially, which cannot be afforded by most of by a lot of people, so then they can't do it. So what if instead, to create more bounds on it, every home has a little throne room? They have a throne room inside for the God King to hold court if they need be. And then it's like the living room is their throne room that they don't touch other than to manage it. They like maintain it very much like the shrines from Thailand.
Sure.
But then the rest of the house is just whatever they can reasonably afford. So you have that. Because I like the juxtaposition of the poverty of it all, of we are like poor farmers and we are devoting all of this extra cash that we have to this place that we don't get to use.
Oh, like normal religion.
Yes, like normal religion, except... a physical property on their property. Like, they're not giving their money to a church.
Right, I see what you're saying.
They are maintaining, they're making an active choice. Yeah, I know what you're
being. Incredibly glib right now.
Yes. But they're like actively, they're making an active choice on their own property not to reinvest that in themselves, but to create this little palace for somebody else. And
that part I like.
And to be fair, you could remove all of the individual palace stuff and the idea still works. If it's just, we're building the great palace
that's never finished
for the God King, that works that as a works separate too. Thing too.
But so. I like the individual ones. And for me, what I like about why I'm stuck on the individual ones is you said every palace is sort of reflective of the owner's personal attitudes and beliefs. So a humble farmer might build a cozy, incredibly luxurious, but not grand or expensive, but just very soft and warm and cozy. But you could also have people that would think, oh, this has to be made of black marble and right? Like,
yeah. Okay. We could probably find the middle ground here, which is, it's not every individual, but it's like every village. Every small community does this at their level so that they are devoting resources as a commune to this. And then it's like, this is a village that really values community and comfort. So we will build a very comfortable, simple, humble palace, but it's still palatial. And we are still putting more into it than into our own homes. But we're all doing it collectively, so we're not all as impoverished. And then you go to the fishing village and it's very much like built onto the sea and it's like this beautiful scenic view. You go to the mountains and it's black marble, like intense foreboding. Exactly. And so you have a bunch of these palaces, but they are a bit more
mm-hmm.
full stop and less frequent.
Yeah.
But they are still far too numerous.
I think that's the needle.
Yeah.
I think you thread it right there perfectly. And also, I just have to say this because it's been stuck in my head this whole time, is this whole thing reminds me of that Mitch Hedberg joke where he said, I got a king size bed so that if a king ever shows up, I can be like, hey, guess what I got?
Shout out to Mitch. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Mitch. But yeah, I've been thinking about that for like 10 minutes, so I had to get it out.
Another one of his jokes I feel like is relevant to any world builder and relevant to this podcast is the... When I'm in my hotels on the road, I lie in bed and I try and think of something that's funny. And if the pen's too far away, I have to convince myself that what I thought of isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, and that's true.
Like that idea that like when an idea gets in your head and you're like, fuck, I have to do this. And then sometimes you're like, but I really shouldn't. And then you have to like convince yourself not to do it or like to get rid of it.
How can I find the hole in it?
Yeah. So, poke a hole in it and then you're golden.
I love it. No, I think that's great. I think that's very cool.
All right, cool. All right. The microwave is starting.
It's very simple. It's a palace in the shape of a Mobius strip. So it's just
a Mobius strip.
You know, when you take the sheet of paper, it's the one-sided thing. You take a sheet of paper, you twist one end, tape it together, and it's where the symbol for infinity comes from.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And so it's just shaped like that. So everything just sort of has one side,
mm-hmm.
and it's just floating above the land, constantly shifting. It's this work of incredible mathematic space wizardry.
Yeah.
Just in perpetual motion, and it's just, it's pure vibes. It's nothing but that. But I like it because it's infinite, because then that sort of gets at the spatial geometry of it, because then you're building on two sides. Everything's all sort of connected together.
Yeah.
Sort of like if you could turn Escher's staircase into a physical palace, that type of thing. So you get some metaphysical tomfoolery involved in it.
Cool.
That's it.
Okay. Mine is an underground palace that is
also in a volcano.
No, that is just, it's just underground and it's like literally under the city that everybody lives in. But for security purposes, the king or the queen or whoever just resides in an underground palace, because then no one knows where they are at any given time, because they can move it around.
Ooh.
So they can move it around underneath the city. They can move it outside the city. They can move it to another part of the country. Ooh. And no one actually knows where they're currently located other than if they've been holding court somewhere, because they still have like a throne room that's above ground and like facilities above ground for them to use. But then their true abode and their true palace is under the ground and thus secret and safe.
I love it.
In the words of Gandalf. All right. Well, what stuck for you?
I want to hear what stuck for you first.
I think I really like, and it's kind of funny that it's like, seems like the pretty obvious answer to the palace thing is, or to my idea was making it like the Goldilocks. So let's go to the medium version, which is there's just a bunch of villages. Every village has a palace. I think that's really cool. And I think the idea of the perpetually building the grand palace and then the king saying, don't finish it because I don't want a crisis of faith.
Yeah.
I think that's really fun and really cool.
That's story. And the religion element of it is very cool.
Yeah. And I really like the visual specifically of the mechanical version of the Lego palace.
I'm stuck on imagining like they had the cave trolls.
Yeah. It's
opening like the black gate.
Yeah. Like
it's very much like that.
I'm thinking very much. And yes, I played Lord of the Rings Risk yesterday. So I have the Lord of the Rings in my mind.
Sure.
And I watched the Fellowship on Saturday. Jesus. But yeah,
it's, I think you mean Maiar.
Shut up.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I got where you were going. But yeah, I think that modular, like evil mechanical version is really cool. It creates like such a like imposing, like it creates the imposition that I think you're looking for, but then it also like would be really fun to approach in like a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck is that? Oh shit. And it's like just crawling with the most dangerous thing. You're like, that's the final boss. Right. That's like the last.
The palace is the boss.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Because it can become a weapon. It can become.
That's right.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah. Like that.
There's your idea. All right.
I like that.
What stuck for you?
One, the villages thing, because again, with you, I think we thread that needle pretty perfectly. And what it genuinely reminds me of is the way that villages, small cities and towns in the ancient Greek and Roman world would have very different stylized temples to different aspects of deities. You know, there was, it was more reflective of the resources available. It's a very human, again, Matt Colville, you will never invent something as cool than what already exists in the real world.
And so
you found a way to take a real world thing and make it just slightly tweaked and fantastical.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's hitting with me so well. The other thing that is sticking for me is the complete opposite direction. Also, I am stuck on the crystalline version of the modular palace, but instead of the crystals being stuck in the ground, I'm retconning it. The crystals, the other modular sections, are actually floating around.
Oh, yeah. It's got a real Mage Tower vibe.
Yeah, a real Mage Tower vibe, but it's also got defenses where if they are attacked, there are ships that are like little crystalline spaceships or crystalline drones.
Are they? Who's operating those?
I don't know.
A space wizard?
Probably.
Yeah.
That fly around, and they are also modular. So there's a core, kind of a core sphere, but then they're surrounded by crystalline wings that will reform into a shield if they're attacked, and then fly around and readjust and reform into wings for flight, and then turn into a little cannon and fire off a laser, and then so it's just a lot of crystalline reforming.
There you go.
Well,
that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Thanks for listening.
Emails in the show notes.
Goodbye.